Relegators!
Mount up!
There we go. Welcome back to the Relegators Podcast. This is the podcast where me and my best bud Carl go through the relegation promotion system in top tier English soccer. Carl, how was your New Year's, bud?
Oh, it wasn't the best. So it was always my dream to spend New Year's in Times Square, in New York City. And so I went there, and there's a severe lack of public bathrooms that are available for use. So I wore a diaper while I was in Times Square,
Good
and
call.
I had these sparklers, like those sparkler fireworks that I had them imported from Taiwan, and they were extremely high powered, and they wound up burning both of my hands. So I actually spent the night in Cedars-Sinai Hospital with burned hands and a full diaper. So, I mean, it was all right. What about you?
Yeah, about the same. I just got home and hung out with the cat. We celebrated New Year's. I got like a wild itch at the very end, hit up a buddy, went to the bar, but yeah, the same as you.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Are your hands okay?
Yeah, I didn't burn my hands.
No
Didn't burn my
diaper.
hands. No diaper. No, I had access to restrooms, just a couple cigarettes for sparklers.
Well, I mean, those cigarettes, those will get the juices flowing, if you know what I mean.
Oh, I thought you were gonna tell me, oh, they'll get you in the long run.
I mean, but I got faith in your genes, Phil, your genetics. I think you're gonna be fine. Smoke them if you got them.
Thanks, bud. Thanks. Well, Carl, I'm super excited. We got a big week of action, so let's get started. We start the new year in London at Loftus Road, where the Park Rangers took on Watford. The Park Rangers start us off in the 5th minute with a sneaky free kick way off to the side of the action, but Kieran Morgan chases it down and puts a cross in the box where Michael Frey gets it past a frozen keeper. In the 37th minute, after a long free kick gets the ball into the attacking third, Park Rangers' Elias Chair makes a nice cross that Jimmy Dunn heads in, giving QPR the 2-goal lead. Watford cut it in half in the 55th minute when Georgi Chekwetete runs the ball up and sends a nice pass to Kwadwo Bah, who puts the shot on target, and it's deflected by a QPR defender and in the net. But the Park Rangers come right back in the 56th minute when Paul Smith takes the ball into the attacking third and crosses to Sam Field, who heads it in, and the Park Rangers stay up for good. They take the win 3-1.
Yeah, what a disappointment for Watford to get their ass beat by the Park Rangers. First thing I have to say is there was a guy on the Park Rangers who, now I am a bald man, and I saw a goal by a fellow bald man, which is pretty rare in soccer because they always usually have immaculate hair. So I was really thrilled to see a fellow bald man score a goal. That was cool. Second goal, yeah, had a great like entry pass. Just awesome. And I don't know. The Park Rangers might be trying to stay up. What do you think?
Yeah, they put up a fight, that's for sure. Yeah, I thought it was, let's see, was it the first one or the first goal? Was a weird one for me because that free kick, it was almost like a trick play in the NFL. They sent it way off to the left and there was no one home, and Kieran Morgan just chased it down, and so they got themselves what seemed like an easy cross instead of trying to send the ball in from where they got it. So yeah, that was the goal for me, was that sneaky little free kick that they had.
Yeah, I think they call that in football, American football, a swinging gate play.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, that's the closest I could come to
No, I think that's a good
comparing it.
analogy. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, but good for QPR. They're keep, they're still fighting. They haven't given up on the season. Their players look like they got some juice. So let's go up the Park Rangers.
Good ups, Park Rangers.
Yes,
Next
sir.
game, we go to Ellen Road, where Leeds United hosted Blackburn Rovers. Carl, this was a DraftKings match of the week. How much did you put on it?
Oof. I'm gonna assume that I picked Leeds.
Yeah, we both picked Leeds straight up. You put $50, I put $100 on it. Carl, I watched most of this game live, and there were a couple of chances each way, but not a whole lot of action until the 87th minute when Rovers defender Dominic Hyam gets a piece of Mateo Joseph in the box, and Leeds are rewarded a penalty. Pascal Strout gets the keeper leaning the wrong way and converts the penalty, but Blackburn come right back in the 90th minute with a corner kick that kicks around in the box, and Danny Bath gets a foot on it and ties the game up. And that's how the game finishes, 1-1.
I mean, Blackburn is not a bad team. They're up there, but still, you think Leeds has to be a bit disappointed with this result. I mean, they had 70% possession. They had 12 shots to Blackburn's four.
Yeah, but even their shots on target were kind of weak. They didn't have great chances. I think Brendan Aaronson had a decent chance, but I mean,
He
he
did.
soared it way over the goal. Remember that GIF we used to see after the World Cup where the Red Bull astronaut just falls out of the
Yeah,
sky?
oh, I love
Like,
that.
that's what it
Oh.
reminded me of, the helium ball that just.
God, I love that. I love that gift so much. I would, I would request a day off work just to spend the entire day watching that gif on repeat. It's so great. I think it was like I think the original one that I saw was like a Sergio Ramos missed penalty for Real Madrid.
Right.
That he skies it, and then it was like right after that astronaut thing happened, and then yeah, they made that, so that was good. Blackburn, these kits that they wore were
Yeah.
not bad.
Yeah, I agree. I also like the kits.
They were not bad. Blackburn, you should make these
Yeah, I'm
your.
surprised you say that, but yeah, I also like the kits. They weren't the blue and white ones. I think they look more a little more traditional with the black and red. I mean, that's what their logo should be, right? With the
Yeah, the
rose.
rose or whatever it
Yeah.
is. Yeah, I mean, they look better than the usual abominations that they put on. One thing I did, another thing I noticed is that at halftime, Brendan Aaronson had possession of the ball, and he was in Blackburn territories, in enemy territory, and he had a chance to go forward, and it was going to be this was the last.
Like the final push before the whistle.
This was absolutely going to be the end of the half, and he made a backwards pass to someone, and then they blew the whistle. And I was like, "What are you doing, man? Just
Yeah,
sit."
I actually remember watching that live. I was checking it out, and I remember kind of going,
Yeah, send it into the
yeah,
box. Just
they're
send it into
gonna
the box
regret
and see
that
what
one.
happens, or something. Don't pass it backwards. Like, you have the ball. This is the last kick of the half, like do something with it, not backwards. So that was a little confusing. The Leeds penalty, I don't know. What do you think? Did you think it was a penalty?
Yeah, he kind of got him. I don't think it was like terrible, but it was just the where it happened. You know, it's a free kick anywhere else on the field, so if it happens inside the box, it's got to be a penalty.
Yeah, it was pretty light contact, I felt, but I
Yeah,
mean.
and it was kind of like with the follow through, you know, but he missed the ball and got all foot on it. So, like I said, if that happens outside the 18-yard box, they're still calling that, so it should be called, you know, inside the penalty area, same as outside.
Sure. And then the last thing I have written down, and all it says is stupid Blackburn goal.
Yeah.
So I think the goal was kind of a funny one.
Yeah, it was kind of
But,
like a failed clearance from Leeds for sure.
yeah, but I mean.
I mean, just, you know, immediately after getting the penalty scored against you, you get a corner kick. So, I mean, obviously right there, they're putting the pressure on and they're not
Yeah,
going
but
away.
after getting a penalty in the 88th minute, at home, or it doesn't even matter at home or on the away, you think that's game. Like, we've got this.
Yeah.
So very, very disappointing 2 points to leave behind for Leeds, but a very important point for Blackburn.
Yep. I agree 100%. Next game, we go to the Hawthorns, where West Brom take on Preston North End. Carl, our boy Josh Maja is back.
Yay, he's back, baby. He's back. I missed you so much, Josh Manja. Welcome back, baby.
Welcome back. After not scoring in the last eight EFL Championship matches, Maja gets on the board in the 18th minute. Mikey Johnston does most of the work, getting into the penalty area with some fancy footwork and rolls the ball to awaiting Maja, who puts it home. In the 35th minute, Johnston would have a funky corner kick. Not sure if he mishit the ball or intentionally tried to get it way outside to Callum Stiles, but Stiles was there, hit a sharp ball through a lot of traffic and into the goal. In the 40th minute, Maja would get his second of the game after Darnell Furlong takes the ball a long way, draws the foul for would be a clear penalty, but the ball goes straight to Maja, who lasers it in, and the referee just awarded them the goal. Preston would get on the board in the 70th minute with a stupid turnover in the defensive third for West Brom. The ball is just given to Milutin Osmacic in the edge of the 18-yard box, and a quick flick to Ryan Ledson, and he sends it home. Not enough, though. West Brom take the win, 3-1.
Yeah, our boy Maja got a brace.
Yep, big brace.
So this heats up the goal scorers race with the Borja Sainz again. Yeah, Maja, this is the West Brom. These are the results that we expected, I think, from them at the
Yeah.
beginning of the season. Like, I think this team is better than they played. The stats honestly were not that impressive, actually. Preston North End had more possession.
I saw that.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't know what that means exactly for West Brom going forward. But
And we should note West Brom's still managerless. They still don't have a
that's true.
manager after Carlos Corberan left for Valencia, who he ended up losing today to
Yeah,
Real
and
Madrid.
I heard today that Corberan or whatever his name is, Valencia is his hometown.
Okay.
So, I mean, how would you know,
Yeah, your hometown team.
how would
Although
you not go there?
they were up 1-0, and Real Madrid got a red card and then scored two goals to win it.
Yeah,
So
but I mean, Real Madrid's gonna do that. Like, even if they go a man down, they still have the talent, still have the horses to beat a team like Valencia, probably. One thing I wanted to mention is so West Bromwich Albion. Do you know what Albion means?
No, there's another team in League One that has Albion in their name that I know for sure. Those are the only two that I know of off the top of my head. But no, I don't.
So, I looked this up. Albion is an alternative name for Great Britain. The oldest attestation of the toponym, oh God, comes from the Greek language. It is sometimes used poetically and generally to refer to the island, but is less common than Britain today. So Albion is Great Britain. I did not know that. I had no
Yeah.
clue. But my question is, why doesn't America have like cool poetic names like that? Like, why? Like, we got nothing. What do we got? We're just,
We just put new in front of everything. New
yeah,
York, New
New Hampshire,
Amsterdam.
New Mexico,
Yeah.
yeah, New Modesto, yeah.
New Bakersfield.
God, why would you want a new one of that? The old one sucks. But yeah, I thought that was pretty interesting. I had no clue about that.
No, you drop some knowledge on me, that's for sure.
Yeah, but beyond that, yeah, Mancha, a couple goals. So good to
Yeah,
see
our
that
boy's
back in
back,
action.
three back of signs right now.
Yep, still got some work to do, but I think he's gonna catch him. I think he's gonna catch him, bud.
Yeah, I mean, we just started the second half of the season, so he's got a little bit to do, but I mean, he gets two a game.
You want to put a side bet on who finishes winning the most goals race?
Possibly. I'd have to give you some odds. I wouldn't feel fair taking someone with 3-goal lead.
Oh, what a puss. All right.
Okay, fine. Give me a 3-goal lead. How much you want to put on it?
Are we talking fake money or real money?
Real money? No,
Real money.
I'm not doing this $1,000
Real
DraftKings
money. All right, I'm gonna have to think about this one.
bullshit with you. Yeah, see, that's what I
What
thought.
a puss.
I'm a puss.
No, I became the puss. You know what?
Next game. Oh, I'm
I'm
sorry, go
proud.
ahead.
I'm a proud puss. All right, go ahead.
Next game, we go to Turf Moor, where Burnley hosted your Stoke City, Carl. Did you see the news last week? Narcisse Palhache sacked right before their game. Who'd they play last week?
Well, they play Leeds and they played Sunderland.
Yeah, before the Sunderland game that they won.
Yeah, so new manager bump, baby.
You've hired a new manager. His name is Mark Robinson. He was a former manager of Coventry, fired or sacked, excuse me, early November last 2024, so just a few months ago. But he was not the manager for this game or the Sunderland game. He will be the manager next week when you guys play Plymouth Argyle, a Wayne
Oh.
Rooney-less Plymouth Argyle, who was also
Oh,
sacked
so
before the new
sad.
year.
Oh, well, okay, so Mark Robinson, that sounds like some guy that is in witness protection program, like just the most generic name of all time. Like, what, who is this guy? I don't fucking know. But you know, I'm glad that we're playing Plymouth Argyle. Although I am absolutely devastated that the fat granny shagger is,
I know.
I was enjoying him being around. I
Yeah,
hope.
I don't know what hurt worse, him getting sacked or Ricky Henderson dying. I'm still trying to figure out which one I'm grieving from right
Oh,
now.
both, yeah, both tough. I, you know, maybe, you know, maybe West Brom will hire him. Probably not, but yeah, Burnley Stoke, it was a scoreless draw.
Yeah, this game was super boring. Nothing really happens at all till the 87th minute when Burnley's Hannibal Mejbri gets a red card for stomping Stoke's junior Tcham Adou right in the stomach after some wrestling for the ball in the corner of the pitch. Immediately red carded, didn't even fight it, just walked off, and that's all the action that happened in this game, really.
Yeah, even Burnley's red cards are boring. I don't know how they manage it, but they did have Burnley did have like a little chance there right at the end of the match.
Stoke had one too. Stoke had a
Yeah.
chance, but they have Burnley almost put it home like
Yeah,
in the
that was a
90
kind of a
plus.
wild scramble. And Stoke was lucky to get away with a point. I mean, getting a point at Turf Moor this season,
Well,
up the Potters.
another clean sheet for Burnley though.
Another, yeah, I mean, yeah, they're hard to score on. They're stingy, so not so. And if a team's not gonna score on them, I'm not surprised it's Stoke. Like I wasn't expecting a wasn't expecting a 3-goal rush from Stoke in this game.
Agreed.
I mean, I'm just happy that they held Burnley scoreless and get a point and hopefully continue the good fight to stay up.
Next game, we go to MKM Stadium. Hull City hosted Middlesbrough. Good news, Carl. I found some highlights for this Hull City game. Bad news, it was another dud of a game. A couple chances from Burrow. Hull wouldn't even get a shot on target in the game. Finally, in the 90 plus 3, fresh sub Delano Bergsorg takes the ball onto the left side and centers it to another fresh sub, Alex Gilbert, who taps it in past the stunned Hull goalkeeper, and Middlesbrough steal the 3 points late, 1-0.
Yeah, I was pretty bored watching the highlights of this one.
Yeah, this was a dud.
This was a dud. Middlesbrough definitely had more fire to them, more attacking prowess. They definitely are the better team than Hull.
And you can kind of tell even through the highlights that they were knocking on the door and something was about to go, but you thought that maybe Hull City could hold on for a couple more minutes and pull the nil or the nil, excuse me, the draw out. But yeah, I mean, Middlesbrough didn't have many chances, just a couple. Hull City had none. So yeah.
Middlesbrough, or excuse me, Hull City was pretty much just trying to hang on for dear life and make it through and get a point, it seemed like. And Middlesbrough is just a slightly better team, or maybe much better. And this is a big 3 points for them. They need, they're trying to be in this playoff conversation. So
Yeah, for sure.
every win, and especially on the road, if you get 3 points
Yep,
on the
a win on the
road.
road is huge. I'll definitely. I'm not impressed with the whole city, but you're right. Every win on the road is a big one.
Yeah, Hull City, I mean, they seem like they were improving for a minute, but now it seems like they're back in the shitter. So, whatever.
Final game for the first fixtures of the week in the EFL Championship. We go to the Stadium of Light where Sunderland hosted Sheffield United. Carl, this was another DraftKings match of the week. You remember what you put on it?
Yes, I think I went with Sunderland.
Me and you both had Sunderland straight up plus 130. You put $50 on it. I put $100 on it. So congrats on you. Sunderland come right back though in the 35th minute. Wilson Isidore streaks past the Sheffield defenders and goes far side, beating the keeper to put Sunderland up 2-1, and that's how it would finish.
So first off, we had Kiefer Moore, who we talked about before, the big Welshman. He got his shirt pulled in the box and got a penalty, but it
Oh,
got
the
saved.
save.
It got saved.
Yeah, because I watched this game, I forgot about the save.
I think that's the second penalty in a row that Kiefer Moore has had saved or missed.
Didn't he save it with his feet or something like that? Yeah,
Yeah, he did.
he put it in like the middle of
In the
the
middle. He went down the middle pretty much, and that's the second time that he's put a penalty kind of down the middle and it's got saved. So I have to say, with these two shit penalties, Kiefer Moore has dropped to second in my best Kiefer rankings. He's behind Kiefer Sutherland now. He's fallen behind Kiefer Sutherland. We'll see. I'm keeping him at second, and I will refer to him as Queefer Moore until he makes a penalty,
Until he rectifies himself.
until he rectifies himself and redeems himself. Sheffield defender named Robinson had a bad mistake that led to a goal. I saw Luke O'Neill had a great goal, but it was for his own, it was on his own team. Whoops. If there's like in contracts, I know there's like goal bonuses. Like I think that should count towards your.
Well, I mean, and that one was a weird one because he headed it like normally. Like I get like putting the leg out and it going off your leg and into the goal, but like I mean, it looked like he headed it right
Oh
into the
yeah,
side
that
of
was like
the
acrobatic, and it was an impressive own goal. And if I was him, I'd put that, I'd frame that one and put it on the wall and be like, "Hey, I scored." Like,
Just make sure you leave the goalie out, the keeper out, so they don't know what
just
side.
Photoshop a different jersey on him. Isidore's goal. This guy, he showed some incredible speed to get around his defender and create the opportunity. Like, this guy is a player. We've talked about it before, but like, this guy is probably Sunderland's hero. Or I'm sorry, Sheffield United's hero at this point.
No, you're right, Sunderland.
I was right. They both wear white and red stripes, like, and so does Stoke City. So
Well, you got some blue in yours, but yeah, no, Wilson Isidore, Sunderland, he's been great for them. If he's not getting an assist, he's getting a goal a game.
Yeah, he's been really impressive, and yeah, just that move he made, and just to turn on the speed and maintain control of the ball, and then finish it off, all that together is just very impressive. So good for him. And then Joe Bellingham, I just want to bring him up real quick.
Yeah, you might be saying bye to him. He might not be around very long.
Where do you think he's gonna go? I mean,
I don't know, but all season long they've been talking about bringing him up to Premier League or someone buying his contract, not necessarily in Premier League, but maybe one of the other top leagues. But every time I'm watching highlights of this guy, the commenter is bringing up the fact that his contract might be up for grabs, so.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think that Jude Bellingham is the more talented Bellingham. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean he's playing in Real Madrid right now, so
Yeah.
starting for Real Madrid, I'm pretty sure. So,
Now,
I'd say so. But and they I already heard earlier that Job has exceeded Jude's championship game tally. So it sounded like it didn't take Jude long to get promoted up, where it's taken Job a little bit longer.
that's gonna be interesting. I mean, I know they don't have Thanksgiving in England, but like at a holiday dinner, like when you got one brother that's like they work the same job, but one's obviously better than the other. Like, I wonder if that causes like friction, or if you're the less talented brother, you just accept it. I'm thinking about like what are some other examples of this? Maybe the Mannings, who else? Help me out. Help me out here. I'm just
I don't know. The Gallaghers,
the Oasis.
I mean the comedians. No.
I didn't know there were two Gallagher
They're
comedians.
twins.
What?
They're
What?
twins.
What?
The shitty one stole, because he looks just like him, he stole his name and basically went on tour acting like him doing the Sledge-O-Matic and got
Wait,
sued.
are you serious?
Yes, this is
That's
real.
real?
Yes.
What the fuck? That is insane. Oh my God, I am my mind is blown right now. I thought that the Watermelon Smasher, I thought that was just one guy. But now I know he has a twin brother, and oh my God, I Phil, what? You have just shaken my foundations, my friend. Wow.
Let's move to the weekend fixtures. All right, Carl, we go to the weekend fixtures in the EFL Championship. First place we go, Ewood Park, where Blackburn Rovers hosted Burnley. Carl, this was a DraftKings match of the week. Do you remember what you put down?
I think that I, ooh, I think I, did I pick Burnley?
You did pick Burnley.
Yes.
We both picked Burnley, draw, no bet. Blackburn Rovers come out in what has to be known as the world's finest kits. Unfortunately, their kits were the most exciting part of this game until the 60th minute, when Burnley put some pressure on Blackburn. A ball goes out to the left, and Bashir Humphreys, who crosses it in to Zian Fleming, puts a diving header on the ball and past the keeper. That would be all the action in the game as Burnley gets another clean sheet, 1-0.
Blackburn had 10 more touches in the box. Possession was pretty even. Zian Fleming, this guy
That
is a
header
player.
was amazing.
This guy is a player. I'm kind of wondering if he might get some bites from
Yeah.
Premier League clubs in the transfer window.
It took him a long time to get into the lineup, but once he did, I remember telling you the announcer was like, this guy's got some spark to him. And then right away, he had that crazy shot, what, like 3 or 4 weeks ago that we were talking about. And ever since then, he's been on fire.
Yeah, if I was a team fighting to stay up in the Premier League, not Southampton, but because they suck, but the other one, Southampton will get to play against him next year if he doesn't move, unless Burnley goes up, of course. But if I was one of the other teams, like maybe Ipswich or someone, send out some feelers to Burnley, but I don't know if they'd be willing to sell him at this point.
Yeah, I mean it's hard to know how good he really is, but I mean he scores goals, right? It's the Chris Carter treatment. Like all he does is catch touchdowns. Like all I know him for is scoring these goals. I don't really see him in any other part of the highlights. When I watch the game, I don't hear him a lot, but man, he gets the spectacular goals in the games. I'm really impressed.
Well, scoring goals, that's a good way to win matches. So I think he has value for
Agreed.
sure. And also, did you know what the name of this Blackburn Burnley matchup is?
No, the Derby
Yeah.
match. No, I don't.
Yeah, it's the East Lancashire Derby.
East,
So
I'm gonna type that in. East Lancashire Derby.
yeah, so that's a derby, and Burnley get their derby win over their hideously dressed rivals.
They're so well dressed with a collar and everything.
God, yeah, no, that's like putting lipstick on a pig. It's still a fucking pig.
Next game we go to Swansea.com Stadium, where Swansea hosted West Brom. Still no full-time manager for the Baggies, but they would get on the board first in the 66th minute when Jason Malumbi would dribble his way to the top of the box and makes a nice pass to Tom Fellows, who lasers the ball past the keeper. Swansea wouldn't go away quietly when in the 90 plus 2, West Brom could not clear a ball out, and Ronald takes a nice first touch to cross the ball into the 6 yard box where Joe Allen was waiting to head it home. Swansea steal a point from the Baggies 1-1.
Yep. Have you heard what the public address announcer says over the loudspeaker at the beginning of the match and at the beginning of the second half in Swansea Stadium?
No, what does he say?
He says, "Come on, the Swans."
I
Isn't that a little sexually explicit? I mean, I think there's kids at these games. You're talking about ejaculating on their players. That's a little much. Come on, the Swans.
Yeah,
And
let's just keep it. Let's go. You know,
yeah, we
maybe
go.
"let's go" is an ejaculate term in England.
Yeah, maybe it's switched. Maybe it's switched between the
Right.
country. They drive on the left. They say let's go for yeah,
I
great
"let's
header.
go" all over this chick's face.
Let's go. I'm gonna start using that. But yeah, great header. And guess what? We're back to Dromwich.
Yep. They got no manager though. Like, I mean, and it was late, man. They had that win. It was a late goal.
Yeah, they had the win, so that's disappointing. If I was West Bromwich, I'd really start to think heavily about hiring a manager.
Good call. I think that's great advice.
yeah, just crazy idea, crazy thought.
Next game, we go to Vicarage Road, where Watford hosted Sheffield United. Carl, this was another DraftKings match of the week. Do you remember what you put on this one?
I'm pretty sure I went Sheffield on this.
You did not. You were a loser and you went draw.
I went, oh.
I did pick Sheffield draw no bet, so I took that minus 130. But you
Oh.
did not. The Blades get started in the 13th minute when Callum O'Hara splits the D with a nice pass to Gustavo Ahmer, who makes a nice measured kick past the keeper. Watford come back in the 20th minute with a series of nice passes. First, Kwadwo Ba to Ryan Andrews, who draws the keeper out, and then Andrews to Jeremy Ignatia for a wide open goal. In the 53rd minute, Sheffield's Andre Brooks would get the ball just outside the 18-yard box and absolutely rifles one past the diving keeper for a fantastic goal. That would be all Sheffield United needed as they take the win 2-1.
Yes, solid win for the Blades. On the road at Watford, that's a pretty good one to keep them, in pace for the race. Did you know that singer Elton John owned Watford for 14 years?
Yeah, well, he at least had a piece. Yeah, for
Yeah,
sure.
he had a piece.
That was known throughout the English flight. I
Yeah,
did know that.
I didn't realize that till a couple of days ago, but yeah, so you remember when Princess Diana died and he came out with like a new version of Candle in the Wind? He actually did that with the
Whole
song
city when
Good.
they got relegated.
He did no, he did that with the song Goodbye Yellow Brick Road for when he sold Watford, and the chorus went something like this. Goodbye, really sad moose. So yeah, that was it. He didn't make as much money as he did off the Candle in the Wind one. But yeah, just a fun fact for you.
I'm gonna remember that one.
Yeah, you should.
Next game, we go to MKM Stadium where Hull City hosted Leeds United. Carl, this is probably the match of the week by far. Hull start the scoring in the 5th minute when Abu Kamara gets the ball outside the penalty area and kicks a high rainbow ball over the charging keeper to go up 1-0. Leeds take over to begin the second half, starting in the 46th minute when Leeds are pressing the Hull defense and Ayo Tanaka ends up with the ball outside the 18-yard box and Tanaka puts a Rembrandt of a shot on net to tie the game. In the 62nd minute, Leeds again pressuring the Hull defense. Manor Solomon crosses the ball into the 6-yard box and instead of taking a tight angled shot, Jaden Bogle centers the ball to Dan James, who puts Leeds up 2-1. In the 72nd minute, Hull City botch a clear out and the ball ends up with Joel Peru, who gets an easy goal, putting Leeds up 3-1. Hull City would have an answer though in the 81st minute when off a free kick outside the penalty area goes just above the goal. The Leeds keeper, Ivar Pandur, gloves it back into play instead of punching it out, and João Pedro was there waiting for a point-blank goal, getting the Tigers within one. In the 89th minute, Hull have a corner that Leeds can't clear, and Kamara puts a nice shot that really isn't contested by the Leeds D or the keeper. This game ends in a disappointing 3-3 for Leeds.
Yeah, that's really a bummer for Leeds. You know, they wanted those 3 points, especially with a 3-1 lead.
Yeah,
You
on the
know,
road for sure. Against Hull City, who is not great. We've covered them all the season. They are not good.
I mean, Leeds had to be thinking we got the 3 points wrapped up. Let's
Oh,
just
I did want to put this in. At least we got to see all the goals in this one. At least we weren't in the crowd with someone's handheld, watching a bunch of fans cheer instead of seeing the goal.
Yes, Tigers Plus. Maybe they got a new producer or something like that. But yeah, good job, Hull City, for improving that. I guess so. Abu Kamara for Hull City, a forward. He had to apologize for a post on Portsmouth's Instagram account earlier this week. I guess he got criticized by fans just because I guess he was kind of a goat in the game against Middlesbrough and helped them score a goal accidentally, and they were just mad that he congratulated his friend on a different team for scoring. So I don't know, kind of weird that they reprimanded him for that. Like, you should be able to congratulate your friends. But yeah, on one of those goals, the Leeds goalie was way off his line, and whenever that happens, you're playing with fire
Yep, I agree.
when you come way out. So yeah, but yeah, just disappointing. Oh, and also Abu Kamara also scored in this game. So they said from villain to hero. So good for him.
Yeah, twice, didn't he?
Yeah, and so great match though. Great fun match to watch.
It was fun. Yeah, I mean, the 1-0 lead after the half, it was surprising, definitely, for a Hull over Leeds. Leeds coming back with three to begin the second half was not surprising, but I didn't think that Hull was going to come back, and they did. And like I said before, you have to be disappointed if you're Leeds in this one.
Yeah, and Hull City is like it's like going out on a date with like a four. It's like they could be good if they made a few adjustments, but they're still just middle of the road.
Next game, we go to Riverside Stadium, where Middlesbrough took on Cardiff City. Burrow get on board first in the 11th minute when Ben Doak gets upfield and passes to Emmanuel Latelot, who gets a clean strike from a nearly impossible angle. Cardiff squared up in the 21st minute when some sloppy defense from Middlesbrough allow a shot to get in, and they can't clear the rebound that finds Callum Chambers, who strikes it past the keeper. Not much in the second half, and the game ends 1-1.
The uniforms the teams were wearing, one was wearing Middlesbrough was wearing their red and Cardiff was wearing like powder blue. And I thought for a second when I accidentally like put on the highlights for the Manchester Derby, I was very confused for a second and I'm like, oh, I know this is Middlesbrough Cardiff. So that was cool. Latelat, he's got some quick feet. He almost had a brace. He had another goal
He
denied.
did.
And at one point, Middlesbrough had a horrific turnover. Just awful, awful play. That's Middlesbrough for you. They giveth and they taketh away. So yeah, that's pretty much all I got for this one.
Final game for the championship. We go to the Stadium of Light on Sunday. Sunderland hosted Portsmouth. The whole game happened in the first 8 minutes when, in the 7th minute, Eleyazar Miranda breaks through the Portsmouth defense and makes a clean pass to Wilson Isidore, who has an easy one-on-one with a keeper and puts Sunderland up 1-0. Not much after that, the game finishes 1-0.
Yeah, Isidore again. Once again, the keeper was way out off his line on this one, so that he took a risk and obviously did not pay off. But Isidore is, yeah, he's feeling himself right now for
Yeah, he's
sure.
got to be their MVP this season.
Absolutely, no question in my mind. Roberts, I forget his first name, but I've talked about him before about being two-footed and all that stuff for Sunderland. He missed. He had an opportunity where it was almost practically an open goal. And then also only other thing I have is for Portsmouth, their team captain, Marlon Pack, made a massive defensive error and then got red carded immediately after for a foul. Because it was going to be a breakaway and he did like the clear path foul. And so he gave the ball away and then got a red card. So nice work from the captain there.
Carl, we'll take a look at the EFL Championship standings. In first place, still Leeds United at 53 points. Burnley move up to second at 52 points. They're tied with Sheffield United, who move down to third. Burnley is 3 goals ahead of them in goal differential. Sunderland stay still in fourth. They're the only team that won both games of their double fixture this week. Middlesbrough move up to fifth. West Brom move up to sixth. They moved up 2 spots because of Blackburn Rovers, who moved down 2 spots. They're in seventh. Watford moved down. They've lost 3 in a row. They've moved down two spots. They're in ninth place now. Bristol City moves up to eighth, and Sheffield Wednesday has moved up to 10th. The three of those teams, Bristol, Watford, and Sheffield Wednesday, are tied at 37 points. I'm going to put them on the side. We're going to do scoreboard watching with them, at least for the next week. We won't be covering them, but Watford moves down, Bristol City and Sheffield Wednesday move up, and they're in the race. But I mean, it's tight. You have the top four teams between 53 and 50 points, and then between what is it, 5th through 10th is 41 points to 37 points. So it's a tight race for those final two playoff spots to get in that last spot.
Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth. Yeah, that top four is tight. The race for that second spot is going to be massive to get that second automatic qualification
100%.
to the Premier League. And then, yeah, then the next, well, and then, so yeah, you have fifth through 10th that are 4 points apart. But you also, in 11th have Norwich City. They're at 36, so they're just 4 points back of sixth. They won both of their matches this last week, so a nice little move from Norwich City, who is having a
Yeah,
pretty
big six
disappointing
points.
season. What's that?
Big 6 points.
Big 6 points. Yeah, that they keep doing that. They'll be right back in it.
All right, let's look ahead to next week's matches. Carl, we have a game Wednesday between it's going to go to Ewood Park where Blackburn Rovers host Portsmouth. This is a makeup game from November 23rd. Friday, we go to Turf Moor where Burnley hosts Sunderland. Carl, this is a DraftKings match of the week. Burnley, and I don't have odds. It's not up at all. So we're gonna have to bet this one blind.
Okay.
This is a repeat from the August 24th weekend. Sunderland won 1-0 at home on this one. Who you got, Carl?
Yeah, this one I was kind of on the fence about. So, I did, as I've done a couple times recently, and I actually called my priest to get some
Again, a
guidance.
fictional character you keep
And
talking about, not a real person.
my priest said he didn't help me. He was too busy filing down a bunion or something. So I don't know what's up with my priest right now. He's got to take better care of his feet. Got to get better shoes when he's out there.
Shut the fuck up.
I told you, the priest is coming back every week, so get ready for it. My priest. Okay. Anyway, Burnley. I gotta go Burnley on this one.
You want to take them straight up or draw no bet?
Yeah, these are two. I mean, Sunderland doesn't score a shit ton either,
Sunderland's on fire right now.
but they're playing really well. But I think at Turf Moor, I'm gonna go Burnley, draw no bet.
Yeah, I am with you. Before you even said it, I put down draw no bet, $100. Burnley does not let goals go by. They've only let 9 goals go by this whole season. So I'm thinking it's going to be draw or a Burnley 1-0 win. How much you want to put on it?
I'll do 50 for that one.
50. Cool.
Are you doing 100?
I'm doing 100, yeah.
Of course you are, because you're big baller.
It's because I'm a winner.
Yeah, and Phil, if, for those of you who don't know, Phil will only wear big baller brand shoes and slides.
That's why I have scoliosis.
Yeah, maybe that's what happened with my priest. Maybe he was wearing big baller brand shoes. That's why he's got a bunion.
We moved to Saturday at Bramall Lane, where Sheffield United are going to host Norwich City. Carl, you just talked about Norwich winning their last two in a row. This was a 1-1 draw back on the August fixture. Who you got in this one?
Yeah, it's going to be tough for Norwich to win on the road at Bramall Lane at Sheffield. But I got, you know what?
Sheffield hasn't looked great. Like, they've been okay, but they.
They're kind of treading water a little bit.
Yeah, I agree.
So I don't know. With this one, I think I got to stick. You know what? Give me a draw. I got a draw.
Yeah. I think I'll take Sheffield at home. If I had to bet, I'd probably bet draw no bet, but
Yeah,
yeah, I think the
same.
home field is gonna matter, but Sheffield hasn't looked good. Norwich has been looking really good lately, so I would not be surprised if Norwich won this one.
Yeah, maybe they can ride the momentum. I like the Canaries. I'd like to see them. I'd like to see them rise back up, even though every time they get promoted to the Premier League, they get sent
Yeah,
right the fuck back
immediately. Yep.
down. But it'd be fun to see them in the mix, I think.
I agree. We move to the Hawthorns where West Brom take on your boys, Carl, Stoke City. Carl, back in August, this was a 2-1 win for the Baggies. Who you got in this one?
Yeah, now this one's at the Hawthorns.
Yep.
I'm going with head over heart. West Bromwich could strike again, but I have a feeling West Brom will take this one.
Carl, you want to go head to head?
What?
Oh yeah, I think I'm gonna take the $50 on Stoke City this time around.
You're taking my girl to the dance again?
You know,
What?
my favorite girls have always been your exes.
You're a son of a bitch. Let me hey, you know what? You know what? I read a quote somewhere that theft is the sincerest form of flattery. Anyway, okay. What,
Oh
$50?
man, Carl, you're gonna be heartbroken if you lose this one.
Oof, yeah, man. This would sting. This would sting real bad, but I'm gonna stick with what my initial thought.
Oh,
So
you got the smart bet going. I feel it. How would you say? I feel it in my plums. I got something about Stoke City this week.
in me plums.
Oh, excuse me, in me plum, in ye plums.
Yes. Well, I'm glad that you're listening to your plums finally,
No, I'm
'cause
listening to your plums.
you're listening to, well, if you win this bet with Stoke, I will be crying, like literally, I will be crying. So this is gonna be interesting rooting against my boys.
Oh yeah. You can't
But
do
fuck it, their season's screwed anyway. So whatever.
it. It's a emotional hedge. You should be happy.
Yeah, you're right. I guess, if I lose the bet, my team wins the match. Like, I can't lose. So, emotional head. That's a great term. I've never heard that before.
We move to Chasm Stadium, where Oxford United hosts Blackburn Rovers. Carl, back in August, Blackburn took this one down 2-1 at home. What do you think is going to happen this time?
I mean, Oxford is a pretty
Yeah, they're atrocious.
uninspiring team.
Yeah.
Like, there's hasn't been much to be excited about with them this
I
season.
think they got a draw, I want to say, their last game, and that was like the big news for them. What did they get? Oh, excuse me, I stand corrected. Oxford has won 3 out of 4, including
Oh.
three before their last draw. So they had a 3-win streak and then took a draw last game. So Oxford's on fire right now.
Wow, yeah, that's one of those where they're so far down, it just kind of slips through the cracks and you just don't notice it until you look at
Oh yeah,
the.
and I've just always put them as terrible in my head, so I just assume they're always terrible.
Yeah, good for them. They've gotten themselves pretty comfortably out of the relegation zone. So that's some new information that makes me think Blackburn has not been playing great. Their last five, they got 3 losses and 2 draws. So yeah, they've been kind of they've
Yeah,
crumbled a
we
little
talked
bit.
about their slide in the last few games.
Yeah, they were up there in the promotions. I mean, they're still 1 point away from the playoffs, but they need to get their shit together. And on the road at Oxford, I don't know, man. Fuck it, I'll take Oxford.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'd probably take Oxford, draw no bet. Probably think it's going to be more of a draw than a result, but yeah, I'm with you. I'd take Oxford, draw no bet if I was betting this.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, just look at the form check and let's just see if Oxford rides that wave.
Yeah.
And yeah, not much else I got to say.
We'll move to Fratton Park, where Portsmouth hosts Middlesbrough. Carl, they drew this one 2-2 back in August. Who do you got in this one?
Dude, I don't know if you've looked at some of like Portsmouth's results.
I've been talking to you about Portsmouth.
Yeah, but have you noticed something?
What?
With them, it is complete feast or famine.
Yes.
They
I
either
mean,
like.
Middlesbrough's the same way, though. The one thing I've lost about Middlesbrough is I said they were going to score 2 goals last week, and they won 1-0, and that was their big win.
Yeah, no, but this shit is extreme, with Portsmouth. God, I don't know how
No,
BBC
I
did.
told you it was 3 or 4 weeks ago they won 4-1. I watched the game, so I remember that, and it was amazing. But yeah, then they got killed, like 3-0 or 5-0 or whatever it was. Like, yeah, you're absolutely right. Feast or famine, they're not doing well for the most part, but when they win, they come out and they score in droves.
Yeah, just looking at, I mean, they have a 4-0 loss to Derby County. They have a 3-0 win over Bristol City. They have a 6-1 loss to Stoke.
Ugh.
3-0 loss to West Brom. Yeah, it's just they're just all over the place. So that makes it kind of hard. And yeah, like you said, Middlesbrough though is not a whole lot better in that respect. I'm gonna say oof. This could go either way. What's Wat Portsmouth's form check? Not great.
Nope.
I'll go. Yeah, I'll take Middlesbrough on this one.
Yep. I think I'm with you. I'm taking Middlesbrough. If I had to do it, it'd be draw no bet. But I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Portsmouth came out winning 4-1 or something like that. Like,
Yeah.
honestly, like you said, it's a Jekyll and Hyde situation with them and Middlesbrough. Like, honestly, that I have no idea who's showing up for either team at this point.
Yeah, like anything could happen in this game, and I would look at the score and be like, "Oh, yeah, that makes sense." Like anything could happen. So, but that can make for some fun matches sometimes.
Absolutely. No, you're not wrong on that. So, last game, Sunday we go to Elland Road where Leeds United hosts Sheffield Wednesday. Carl, we might be taking a look at Sheffield Wednesday here soon. They are creeping up in the standings. Last time in August when these two teams played, Leeds United took this 2-0. Who you got in this one? That was Leeds on the road, by the way. This is Leeds at home.
Yeah, this is Leeds at home. Yeah, Sheffield Wednesday. We mentioned them, yeah, quite a few times, being little creepers, and they're sticking around, it seems. But I don't have the heart to bet against Leeds at home. They're coming off a draw against Hull City, a very disappointing draw. So I think that they're going to be a little motivated to do it at Elland Road. So I'm going to take Leeds. I'll win this all the way.
Yeah, I'm with you. I would take Leeds anyway. You're absolutely right. It was a disappointing draw at Hull City. They had the 3-1 lead. So you'd think they come out at home in front of their crowd and play that fast-paced offense that they usually play. So I'm with you 100%. I mean, it's hard to have faith in them. Excuse me. It's hard to have faith in them at this point, but I'm with you. Like, I've got to let one result go. And just know that Leeds is going to have that fast-paced offense going, and they're going to score a lot of goals, I'd like to believe.
I mean, they won 15 and lost 3, and they're at the top of the table. So if you don't have faith in them, then you have faith in nobody at this point, right?
All right, Hull City has been trash. Are you kidding me? And they had a 3-1 lead against them. I don't care if it is in Hull City.
I mean, this isn't Messi Barcelona or anything, but these things, those matches happen from time to time. But I got faith in Leeds to write the, I mean. They still haven't, even in their last six, they haven't lost anything. They've only drawn 3 and won 3, which isn't like what they want, but I mean, it's
You
not
blew a
like
3-1 lead in the second half. That doesn't.
what is this, the Warriors versus the Cavs?
Oh my God.
They blew a 3-1 lead. Oh, that's you never hear the end of it.
Why you got to bring this up?
It's therapeutic, Phil. We got to talk about these
It's
things sometimes.
cathartic.
We can't just bury these, like we
No,
can't.
that's what I've been trying to do, bury that year deep inside my soul. I have not come out of that hole. Also, the Sharks lost in the finals to the Penguins that year, so that was a bad year for me.
It was a double whammy, but yeah, I got faith in Leeds for sure.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. I don't have faith in them, but I think they'll win.
Okay.
Carl, let's move to the Premier League.
Hit the music.
We start Saturday in Villa Park, where Aston Villa hosted Leicester City. Not much action until the 58th minute when Villa are pressing the Leicester D. Leicester can't clear the ball out of the zone and it ends up at Ross Barkley's feet, and he blisters a ball past the defense and the keeper to put Villa up 1-0. The Foxes came back in the 63rd minute when Jordan Ayew brings the ball up to the right side of the pitch and makes a beautiful cross to good old Uncle Vardy, whose point-blank shot is saved by Villa keeper Emiliano Martinez, but Steffi Mavididi is there to put the rebound home. It wouldn't take long for Villa to jump back ahead when, in the 76th minute, the Leicester defense again has trouble clearing the ball out, and Ian Maatsen intercepts the ball and then crosses to Leon Bailey, who shuts the door on Leicester's afternoon. Aston Villa win the game 2-1.
So when I turned on the highlights package for this one, it was 16 minutes. I was like, why? Like, what happened in this game? Like, what? Because usually they're around like 10, 11,
10, yeah.
maybe 12 minutes, but it's 16 minutes. I don't know why that was, but
Don't
first
remember
also
anything really substantial happening that there would have been that much on that.
it's like a normal match.
Right.
One thing I do not like was Ross Barkley's pregnancy celebration. I hate that celebration with all and the su thumbs and the some the thumb sucking is what
Thumb
really
sucking, yeah.
I don't like that. And I know it's like to honor their pregnant wife or they just had a kid or whatever, but just it sends a chill down my spine. It's just something gross about it to me. And then yeah, piss poor job by Leicester of getting the ball out on Villa's second goal. They really messed up defensively.
Yeah, Leicester's starting to come back down to earth lately. They have not played well.
They sure aren't.
Yeah, 5 losses in a row at least for Leicester, I'm showing. Yeah, 5. 6 without a win. Yeah, they haven't won in 7 weeks, so.
Yeah, they could be back to the battle, to the relegation battle, if they don't get their act together.
I mean, they're right there. The only team that's really out of it, and we've both agreed on this for a few weeks now, is Southampton. But they're in 19th spot. Not looking good.
Oh, I didn't realize they were that low. Wow, yeah,
Yeah,
they're gonna be
we'll go over the standings when we
all
finish
right.
this up. So, next game, we go to Vitality Stadium, where Bournemouth hosted Everton. The Cherries were in control of the first half. They had one goal taken off for offside. And Everton MVP Jordan Pickford made some really good saves denying Bournemouth, but they would break through in the 77th minute when Milos Kerkez is able to break free and sends a beautiful cross into the box where David Brooks gets a nice flying volley past the keeper, and the Cherries take the 1-0 lead, and that's how the game would finish.
Yeah, you want to know what I have in my notes for this match?
What?
Absolutely nothing. I was trying to think of stuff to write down. I mean, yeah, Pickford is still playing great. He's having a great season.
Yeah, by far they even said it in the commentary. They said probably the best keeper in the league, definitely the best English keeper in the league.
Oh, no, definitely.
Yeah.
But yeah, besides that, I don't really have much to add on this. Bournemouth continues to, do their thing.
Yeah, and they're doing well this season, but it was just a 1-0 win, and Everton is another team that really hasn't been playing well as of late either.
No, they need to find their identity. Like I don't even like every time I watch their matches, I'm just like, what is this collection of players? Like nothing about them impresses me. So I wonder what they'll do in the transfer window and the off season.
Yeah, no big transfer news yet. I mean, it's only a week in, but I haven't really heard much going down in the transfer window.
Yeah, I guess I don't know. Would you say this one is the less active one than the off season?
Yeah, I think this is kind of like emergency transfers for a lot of people. I don't think a lot of teams, even in the lower leagues, really want to sell players right now, especially if they're doing well, right? You don't want to rock the boat. You got to think it's more for like EFL Championship League type teams who are not gonna who don't have a chance at promotion, selling off some players just to get some money. Things like that. Yeah, I'd say that there's not a lot of activity in this one as compared to the summer transfer window. But I mean, we've seen some big moves in the January window before.
We got 3 weeks left. We'll see. I'm sure there'll be something.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you would think. No one's gonna not make a move, right?
I'm curious to see what happens though.
Yep, next game we go to St. Mary's Stadium where Southampton hosted Brentford. This was a one-sided tilt. Brentford would start the scoring in the 6th minute with Mikkel Damsgaard wins the ball at center field and puts a nice pass to Kevin Sade, who flicks the ball past the keeper to go up 1-0. No scoring until the
No.
62nd minute when Brian Mbeumo puts a rocket in top shelf off a nice pass from Yohan Wiese. In the 67th minute, Southampton midfielder Leslie Ugachukwu takes down Brentford Sepp Vandenberg in the 6-yard box, and Brentford are awarded the penalty that Brian Mbeumo would send home for his second of the game. Brentford would get two more goals in injury time, the first in the 90 plus 2. Mbeumo tees one up for Keane Lewis Potter, who puts a good strike on it, and the other in the 90 plus 4 when Wiese picks the pocket of the Southampton defense and strolls in for the fifth of the game from Brentford. The Bees take it 5-0, and Carl, they could have had more.
That's exactly what I had. They should have been 7-0.
Yeah, and it was only 3 until the injury time, and they added 2, and those were like makeup ones from 3 or 4 that they just got robbed or just flat out missed earlier in the game.
I just don't understand why nobody bothered to tell Southampton that they had a game, because they
You
didn't
were only
show up.
down 1-0 at half.
I definitely all fell apart there by the end.
Well, I mean, and like we said, like they were getting peppered. Like it could have been 3-0 at half, and it very easily could have been 7-0 for the game. But yeah, I'm with you.
Stadium, St. Mary's Stadium still looked pretty full. These fans are hanging tough despite this being an all-time bad season. I wonder if that'll last through the whole year if this
I mean,
continues.
you got to think when your team's in the Premier League, even when they're not doing well, like you want to go see the Premier League teams, you know?
True.
And
And this will probably be their last chance to see Premier League action for at least a
at
year.
least the season, exactly. We go to Sunday's action. That takes us to Craven Cottage, where Fulham hosted Ipswich Town. We start in the 38th minute when Sam Samacic gets a nice goal for the Tractor Boys after Fulham defender Calvin Bassey whiffs on the clearance and Samacic has to put the ball on goal. In the 66th minute, Fulham's Harry Wilson gets tripped in the box by Ipswich's Sam Morsy, and Fulham is awarded the penalty that Raul Jimenez would send home to square the game up. But the very next possession for Ipswich forward, Liam Delap, is taken down in the box by Fulham midfielder Timothy Kaskane, and Ipswich get a penalty that Delap puts away to go back up 2-1. We aren't done yet, though. In the 90th minute, we get another penalty when Ipswich defender Leif Davis takes down Jimenez in the box, and Jimenez would get his brace for the day, tying it back up at 2-2, and that's how we would take it to the final whistle.
Not too often that you get a match with more than one or two goals that are all penalties.
Well, unless Jose Sa is that keeper.
Unless Jose saws it in the net. We'll get to him in a minute, though. That was pretty funny. What was his name? Bassey, the whiffed clearance, and then the ball deflected off of him into the goal. So great defending there.
Yeah, Carl, I did want to mention one thing. I was watching this game, and the first penalty for Fulham, Harry Wilson goes ape shit, and like you can tell the ref was not happy about it, and
Wake up call.
they went to VAR, and like they look and it's like, okay, so it actually is a penalty, so they give it to him. But then when Ipswich comes right back down, that the ref definitely gave him the penalty. He was like, oh no, you want to fucking yell in my face? No, penalty the other way. Like, here we go. Like, that was a total fuck me, no fuck you call.
Absolutely. That player got mad. What was his name? Wilson?
Yeah.
I haven't That was
It was a
almost like,
penalty. They had to give it to him, so that, and they made the right call in the end. But
yeah.
yeah, it was one of those things where I think he ended up getting a yellow card, despite getting the foul for his reaction to it. But then, yeah, the second penalty, the third goal in the game, it was another one where you're like, it could have gone either way. But like I said, I knew it, like just the referee mind frame. He was just gonna be like, nope, I'm giving this one to them.
Yeah.
Fuck you, dude.
It's funny when stuff like that happens between refs and players. So Raul Jimenez got two penalties. He actually set the record for most goals in history by a Mexican player. He just passed Chicharito. So congratulations
In the
to,
Premier League, you're saying?
yeah. So congratulations to Raul Jimenez. Ipswich actually almost lost this game at the end.
Yes,
I
they
don't know if
did.
you remember that. That would have been a disaster, but luckily they escaped. They need every point they can get, so they'll get out of Craven Cottage and
Yeah, I mean, they could have won this game, but yeah, that last one was a penalty. Even the ref who was given the big FU to Fulham had to give him that one. It was a penalty all the way, so.
yes, sir, agreed.
Are you ready for some We go to Monday Night Football. We go to Mullinall Stadium, where the Wolves hosted my Nottingham Forest. Forest would get on the board early when, in the 7th minute, Anthony Elanga slides a pass to Captain Morgan Gibbs-White, who nets the first goal of the game. Wolves had some point-blank chances, but Brazilian defender Murillo would make a great clearance on the line, and keeper Matt Sells would have a save of his own to the dismay of the Wolves. In the 44th minute, Forest would extend their lead when Callum Hudson-Odoi would streak into the penalty area and make a pass back to striker Chris Wood, who left-foots it past the keeper. The nail in the coffin would come in the 90+4 when Hudson-Odoi's nice pass to James Ward-Prowse leads to a 2-on-1 with the keeper, and Ward-Prowse just has to make an easy pass to Taiwo Iwani for the easy goal. Forest win again, 3-0.
Yeah, man. How are you feeling these days?
Man, I gotta tell you, I didn't feel great. Like the first goal, I felt great. But like I said, they had 2 point-blank shots against us, and they both should have gone in. Heady defensive. One of your favorite goal line clearances by the defender from Murillo, and then Matt Sells. I mean, he made the save, but he couldn't have done anything. The ball went right at him from point-blank range, so he makes a save. I did have a highlight on Jorgen Strand Larsen from Wolves. Very easily could have had a hat trick. He had so many chances,
Yep,
and he
yep.
just had some bad luck. Again, 2 point-blank saves from the defender and the keeper. This could have easily gone another way. But the Forest, I almost said the Wolves. Forest, we defend. They were even saying that in the broadcast. Like, we're one of the only teams in the Premier League that is like eyed on defending, almost like Burnley in the Championship. Like, we
Yeah.
just want to defend. That's how we're gonna win. And then we play the counter strike game. We're gonna counterattack and send the ball up, and we're gonna move. We're gonna move when we get the ball. So, really happy to get the win. 3-0 doesn't exactly show how even the match was, though.
Yeah, I thought Sells had a great game. He had one. There's a guy named Gomez on Wolves. He took a shot, and Sells made a great save on it. On the other hand, we have in the other goal, we have our boy Jose Sa. Sometimes I wonder, like, because on a couple of those goals, one of them definitely there was nothing he could have done, but on a couple of those he seemed a little lost. And I'm just wondering if I'm just being too hard on him just because I'm biased against him,
Oh,
or
see, I'm the opposite. I was torn. I was like, this is my Nottingham Forest, but man, my keeper Jose Sa. Like, this is my dude.
yeah, man, I'm sorry you had to endure that. That must have been tough. Did you notice that Taiwo Aoniwi Or if I,
Yeah, I
I'm
think
not.
you had it right. I think you had it right.
Do you know? Do you notice that he was crying after he scored? He scored the third goal. Do you notice he was crying on the field afterwards?
Yeah, I want to say it was his first goal or something like that.
Yeah, I think it was his first goal of the season. Or yeah,
Yeah, it
because
might have
he's
been
been.
his first goal in the Premier League.
No, he's scored goals for Forest
Oh, he has.
before. Yeah, he was. I mean, he was their main striker during the shitty years, and then now he's on the bench. So maybe it's just been because he's been on the bench for a long time this season.
Yeah,
Probably
possibly.
just felt really good. Was
Oh, I mean, when
overcoming
you got Chris Wood, dude, sorry, you're gonna have to take the bench, man. The Kiwi's gonna take the starting spot. That guy's been a stud for us.
that's true. That, unless we want to go with a two striker thing, but I definitely think that Forrest is pretty set in their tactics because they're working.
Yeah, 100%. And you like I brought up the Burnley analogy earlier, you're at least getting a draw if you can keep the other team out of the goal. If you're getting clean sheets, you're at least pulling the 1 point every time. And that's how we're playing. We want to play defense. The commentators made a point of where we really don't know what to do with the ball. We prefer when the other team has the ball. That's when we're most comfortable. So I think that's just going to be the way it is for the rest of the season for us. And as long as we keep getting wins, I'm all for it.
Yeah, if Forest win the Premier League, what will you do? Will you get a Forest tattoo?
Yeah, I was just gonna say I'm clean for anyone listening. I have no tattoos, never married, so you can say I've got a fear of commitment. So I would be willing to get a tattoo if we win this.
Yeah, that'd be worth it. I'm just happy for you, bud. It's fun to watch like this team next week or the next match they play, I believe Liverpool again. They're the only team to beat Liverpool. If they do it again, look
Oh yeah.
out,
I mean,
look
even
out,
if we
bud.
don't win the league, if Liverpool wins and like say they only have two losses and they're both to us, I mean, we can I'd ride on that one.
Yeah, you could claim the championship. You could be like, what was it, like UCF that one
UCF,
year,
exactly, with their
college.
undefeated season gave
Just
themselves the national championship.
the trophy with the ribbons hanging off it, confetti on the stage. Yeah.
All right, Carl, let's take a look at the standings in the bottom of the Premier League. Crystal Palace, who we're just scoreboard watching right now, had a 1-1 draw at home against Chelsea. They're in 15th spot. I think we're going to stop following them for at least a little bit. They have put themselves 5 points ahead of the relegation line at the moment. So we might still scoreboard watch them, but we're definitely not going to follow their games. Next in 16th spot is Everton at 17 points. Wolves and Ipswich Town are both at 16 points. Wolves have one goal ahead in goal differential. In 19th, as we said earlier, Leicester City with 14 points. And at the bottom, we all know Southampton with 6 points. Crystal Palace was the only team of the bottom six to even get a point this week. So everything pretty much stayed the same. Crystal Palace just got themselves a little further away from that relegation line, or the drop zone, as they like to call it.
Ipswich also got a point.
Oh, excuse me, you're absolutely correct.
Yeah, you look at that those form checks for Leicester and Southampton, you're like,
Oh, yeah.
that's why you're at the bottom. That is a
Whole lot
lot
of
of red.
red.
Whole lot of red. And you know who else has a whole lot of red right now is Man United. God, I just want them to be in a relegation battle. It'd be so crazy.
Yeah, I mean, they're already doing the worst they've ever done in the Premier League. So, Carl, we're going to look ahead. We did fail to mention when we did the look ahead with the EFL Championship games. We got a week off, no league action this weekend. Everything starts Tuesday. We had a makeup game for the EFL Championship that was between Blackburn and Portsmouth. That's on Wednesday, excuse me. Yeah, everything starts on Wednesday because we have semifinals in the Carabao Cup, and the FA Cup starts up the third round technically, but this is the first round where the big boys are involved. So that'll be happening Wednesday all the way through Sunday, I want to say. Like the whole end of the week is going to be tournament, domestic tournament games. So still a lot of action to watch, but nothing for the league. We'll start again midweek next week. Next week, we do have a double fixture week for the Premier League. We start Wednesday the 15th. We go to Goodison Park where Everton host Aston Villa. Villa took this 3-2 back in September. Carl, who you got?
That's kind of a tough one, I'd say. I could go either way. Like I said, Everton, there's just nothing too special about their team.
Except
They
for their
are,
keeper. Their keeper.
oh, except for Pickford. But yeah, Aston Villa on the road. I'd probably go Aston Villa draw, no bet.
Yep, I think I'm with you. Next game, we go to King Power Stadium. Carl, we're going to make this a DraftKings match of the week, even though we're not really following Crystal Palace. Leicester hosts Crystal Palace. We're still going to make it a DraftKings match of the week just so we can get some action. You know, I love to gamble, so I want to really get some action going.
Yeah.
Crystal Palace favorites in this minus 105 straight up, Leicester plus 255 straight up, a draw is plus 255 straight up. Looking at draw, no bet. Crystal Palace minus 230, Leicester plus 160. Who you got?
Man, I kind of like some of those Leicester odds. The Leicester and the draw odds are kind of juicy.
Yeah.
And Uncle Vardy, I don't know if he, because he wasn't playing in the last game, you said.
No, he was. He had a point blank shot that actually got saved, and
Oh,
then the
he didn't
rebound went
play.
in.
It must have been a
Yeah,
couple.
so he could have very easily had a goal. The keeper kind of got lucky, but then unlucky because the ball just bounced. What was his name? Steffi Mavididi.
Ah, rolls right off the tongue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? Give me a draw.
I like that. So you're going to take plus 255 on the draw.
50 bucks.
Yeah, I'm taking Crystal Palace straight up on this one. Minus, what was it? Minus 105, I want to say. Yeah, minus 105. It's practically an even bet, so I'll get the max money for it. I prefer a draw no bet, but there's no money involved in that. So I'm going to put 100 bucks. How much you want to put down?
50.
50 bucks. Next game, we go to St. James Park where Newcastle hosts Wolves. Oh, I didn't give the last result on the last game. They drew back in November between Leicester and Crystal Palace. But
Oh, I hope it happens again.
yeah, good for you. You're making it just reaffirms your bet, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Newcastle hosts Wolves. Newcastle took this one down 2-1 on the road back in September. Who you got in this one?
Yeah, I'm gonna have to just stick with Newcastle at home. Wolves are, they've been playing better, even against Nottingham Forest, even though they lost 3-0, like they look dangerous. They're still a dangerous team offensively.
Yeah, that game easily could have gone their way or a draw. And before the game against Forest, they had 2 out of 3 wins, 3 unbeaten. So they have been playing better under the new manager. And like I said, that game could have easily gone a different direction today.
Easily, but I'm gonna have to stick with Newcastle at home.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'd take them. I might, depending on the odds, I might take them draw no bet. But I think Newcastle's playing real well this season. They've looked good. They've got good form. I'm taking Newcastle at home.
Yes, sir.
We go to Thursday at Portman Road. Ipswich Town hosts Brighton. Carl, this was a nil-nil draw back in September.
Wow, I wasn't expecting that. Especially on the at Brighton. Man, give me Ipswich.
Yeah, you like Ipswich at home in this one, huh?
I kind of do.
Yeah, I
Kind
might lean towards draw no bet. Brighton drew. They draw against someone good this last game. I want to say Arsenal. Yeah, drew 1-1 with Arsenal their last game. Yeah, but no, I think I'm taking Brighton. I'd probably take Brighton, draw no bet in this one.
Yeah, that's probably smart, but yeah, I would go Ipswich, draw no bet.
Okay, next game we go to Old Trafford, where Carl, your favorite Man United, are hosting Southampton. Carl, Man United with one of their rare victories took it 3-0 back in September. Who you got in this one?
As much as I would love to see Southampton pull this off on the road, I don't see it happening.
I don't have faith in Southampton at all. We've talked about this, for the last month and a half, 2 months now. I'm with you. Man United's looked absolutely terrible, and I'd love to take Southampton with the big road victory at Old Trafford. But yeah, I think I'm taking Man U, draw no bet if I had to bet on this one.
I'd go straight up.
Yeah, I mean, depending on the odds, we're not betting on it for real, so it doesn't really matter. But yeah, I'm just not really about it.
Nah.
All right, we go to the weekend fixtures, not this weekend, but the very next weekend. We go to King Power Stadium, where Leicester City hosts Fulham. Fulham took this one down 2-1 at home back in August. Who you got in this one?
I'd probably go Fulham draw no bet.
Yeah, I think that's a good call. Leicester have not looked good at all. But I mean, going back to your last point, you never know when Uncle Vardy's gonna sneak in there.
You
So
never know. It would not shock me to see Leicester pull out a result at home against Fulham. I just think Fulham's got overall a more talented team. And I think that they should be able to do something. But I can see a draw for sure,
yeah,
but
on the road for Fulham, Leicester at home, so. But
yeah,
yeah, I think
Lester.
I'm with you. I go Fulham, draw no bet.
Yeah, Lester's back's kind of getting against the wall here a little bit, so
Yep,
they need
100%. Almost like what they say, like a caged animal or something like that.
Yeah, so we'll see what they do. I mean, I feel like any team with Uncle Vardy as the captain will have some fight back, and they don't won't just crumble, you know?
Yep, 100%. 100%. That's why he's one of our favorites.
Yep, absolutely.
We go to Sunday's game at Goodison Park. Everton hosts Tottenham. Tottenham took this down 4-0 at home in August. Who you got?
Well, my Spurs. It's not been a banner season for them so far. Just all over the place results and giving up a shit ton of goals. Like,
I mean, they're only 1 point ahead of Manchester U. You want to talk about Man U having a shitty season? Tottenham are right there with them.
yeah, it's starting, the wheels have started to fall off a little bit. But I'm gonna have faith that they can go into Goodison Park and pull the results. So I'm gonna go Tottenham draw no bet.
Yeah, I think in this one, I take Everton draw no bet. Just because they're at home, only because they're at home. That's the only reason why I like them. Tottenham seem to score in bunches, but you just never know when it's going to happen. But yeah, I think this is one of my risks. If I was to bet, this would be the gamble. I'd take
Yeah.
Everton and draw no bet.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that, I mean, these are two, teams with pretty big histories. So, the fans will be into it, hopefully, and then, if Everton, the players should be into it. So maybe they get some extra juice from that and do it.
Next game, we go to the City Ground, where my Nottingham Forest take on Southampton. Carl, Nottingham Forest took this 1-0 back in August. Who you got?
Give me Southampton straight up. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I was
No.
gonna say, you cocksucker.
Yeah, I see no reason to go against Forest right now. I swear I thought they were playing Liverpool that week. I guess I must have had it wrong.
No, they are playing in the midweek fixture, but we're not following either team, so that.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yes. Yeah, I mean, it's the choice is pretty easy here.
Yep, I'm with you. Next game, we go to Portman Road, where Ipswich Town hosts Man City. Man City took this one down 4-1 back in August.
This could be a fun one.
Man City's been doing better. I say that hesitantly.
Yeah, let me look at their recent form.
Two straight wins, a draw in between. They had two losses.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, yeah, those two straight wins is reason to maybe.
And one of them against East Ham. East Ham's have been playing well.
Yeah, those.
Maybe not. I look at the standings. They're below Man U, so maybe not.
Yeah, that they haven't had a good season really. Which is a shame because I'd love to, I kind of like East Ham. I have a little soft spot in my heart for East Ham. I don't know why. Maybe because it's kind of like they're a little bit the forgotten team in London, compared to Arsenal. Arsenal, Tottenham. And I guess Crystal Palace would be the forgotten team, excuse
Yeah,
me.
yeah. And Fulham's there, but Fulham is like considered the bourgeois team, right? They're in the expensive side of town.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, they're in the Silver Creek Country Club of London.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I know it's right by the river, so that's got to be nice. But I didn't. I'm gonna have to look into that a little bit more. I kind of want to know more about the neighborhoods of London because I mean it's such a big city, and yeah, I'd like to know which, like, I think North London is pretty all right too, like where Arsenal and Tottenham play, but I'd have to look into it. But that's interesting about Fulham.
All right, next game, Stamford Bridge, where Chelsea host Wolves. Chelsea took the 6-2 back in August, on the road.
Yikes. Yikes. Yes, Wolves love to give up some goals, don't they?
Not against my dude Jose
Good touch. The brick wall, except for last
Sa.
game.
Penalty wall.
The penalty. Yeah, Chelsea have hit a little rough patch.
Yes, they have. They have.
Yeah,
They've come back down to form.
They were looking like they might catch Liverpool at one point, but yeah, now they've cooled off. I mean, I'm still gonna take. I would still take them at home, obviously.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
All right, Carl, let's take a look at the DraftKings scoreboard. Carl, you went a miraculous 2-0-2 last week. Because of your tiny, measly little bets, you won $23.82 over the week, but it has put you at $970.14 on the season. You are slowly getting back to even, my friend.
Yeah, it was ugly there for a minute. I don't know if I was just like drunk or something when making these bets for a
Yeah.
while there.
You remember you had the Potters, so that was one win that you got. That was a big underdog. And then who was the other one? You bet Ipswich, or who won last week?
I feel like it was
I think
Ipswich.
it was Ipswich. You had over Chelsea. You bet Ipswich over Chelsea, and
Oh God, what an idiot. But it worked.
but it was like plus 450 or something like that. So it brought you all the way back up. You were almost down to like $300, and it brought you all the way back up to the Mendoza line.
Oh wow. Yeah, that's how I gamble on sports in real life too. Is once
Long shots,
yeah,
always hitting the
I like
long
to
shots.
love a good long shot. If you're betting the horse races, give me that 99-1 every time. But yeah, I'm glad that I'm back in action. And yeah, well, how'd you do?
Slightly better. I went 3-0-1. I won a grand total of $165.74. I am up to $1,609.13 on the season with a winning record of 15-5-13.
Wow. Wow, you're like the leads of United of betting right now.
Yeah.
That's the
Follow my advice. You might win some money.
I always like to make fun of you and your tiny bets that you make. But
Yeah,
maybe there's something to this. Maybe you've had a lot of practice betting, 'cause I mean you do it almost every day, don't you?
I try to. Yeah,
Yeah.
I don't go out and find like the Mongolian tennis tournament or anything and like put money on that. I usually try and keep it to something I know at least a little bit about. But I mean, part of the trick is honestly just looking at the numbers, like relying on the fact that the bookies probably know more than you. So like if you're gonna like if you have a feeling about an underdog, take it, but give yourself a little bit of leeway. Otherwise, try and like parlay a couple of big favorites together. See if you can get some good odds on some draw no bets. But I do well. Like if you put a couple favorites together and they both perform, you win. So that's how I do
Yeah,
it.
cool. Well, I just want to quickly go back to this Mongolian tennis tournament. I'm just picturing it in my head. Like, there's not even a stadium. It's just out in the field, and there's like a yak standing by the court.
It's actually indoors and it's just filled with smoke because everyone's just got cigarettes.
Oh, I love it.
Mongolian pickleball.
Mongolian. What do you know about Mongolia as a country?
I know it's south of Russia and north of China, I want to say.
Yeah, it's got, I think, the least amount of people per capita of any country in the world.
Well, I
It's
think it's
and
like a lot of mountains, if I remember correctly. But it was Genghis Khan, right? Genghis Khan
Genghis Khan,
conquered
yeah. The,
Mongolia.
yeah, I think he had like 150 children or something like that. Like
Doing it
every.
right. This guy's doing
Spreading that seed.
it right. All right, Carl, it's been an awesome week. A lot of action. We are starting to slow down a little bit, but we still got a double fixture in the Premier League coming in a couple weeks. We do have a week off of the pod, but that doesn't mean we have a week off in soccer. Some big FA Cup and some Carabao Cup action coming up. But thank you again for joining me. Thank you, all you people at home, for joining us. We appreciate you listening. We appreciate all the feedback. We'd love to hear more. Anything you got for us, let us know.
Yeah, and if you have time, try to give us a 5 stars rating on Spotify. It's good. It's maybe one day someone will sponsor us if we get enough.
My podcast feed is spot iffy, and it's just a thumbs up, thumbs down rating. So we'll take a thumbs up if you're on spot iffy.
If you're yeah, how much does that cost a month, spot iffy?
They actually pay me 99 cents a month.
Okay, well, so now, okay, that's great. We are now officially sponsored by Spot Iffy.
Spot iffy.
Yay.
Thank you, Spot iffy, for being our first sponsor.
Thanks, Spot Iffy.
It'll go up on our kits.
The Spot Iffy kits. Right up there with the Ed Sheeran logo.
Thanks again for joining us, everyone. Carl, say bye.
Adios, muchachos.
You're looking up Gallagher right now, aren't you?
Dude, that shocked me. I'm stunned. Gallagher comedian brother. Ron Gallagher. Wait, what? This is unbelievable. Oh my God. Oh my God. Get me to the brother. Audience, there's on the wiki, on his Wikipedia, there's a whole section for audience injuries. That's the sign of a great comedy show. This is amazing. Gallagher's younger brother, Ron, asked him for permission to perform shows using Gallagher's trademark sledgematic routine. Leo is the famous one, granted his permission on the condition that Ron, who shared a strong likeness to Leo, and his manager, Clara. I can't even read it. Oh my God. Oh God, I never knew about this. This is the greatest thing of all time. Oh my God. I've got snot coming out of my nose. I'd start trying to read the rest of it, but I know that it's not going to go well. Oh my God. Woo. Oh my God. It feels like I just did 3 lines of cocaine. Thanks for that, buddy. Sometimes I wonder why I'm friends with you. And then
Just
I'm like
drop
this.
a nugget like that.
And I'm like, all right, that's why I love this guy. Oh dear. Goodness me. Right, pull yourself together, Carl. Pull yourself together. I think I want to try to read some more. Gallagher's younger brother. Brother Ron asked him for permission to perform shows using Gallagher's trademark sledgematic routine. Leo granted his permission on the condition that Ron, who shared a strong likeness to Leo, and his manager clarified in promotional materials that it was Ron, not Leo, who was performing. Ron typically performed in venues smaller than in which those in which Leo performed. After several years, Ron began promoting his act as Gallagher 2 or Gallagher 2. In some instances, Ron's act was promoted in a way that was left unclear the fact that he was not the original Gallagher. Oh my God, that is hilarious. That is so funny. If you like wrote this and like pitched it to a Hollywood studio, they'd be like, get the fuck out of here. That's ridiculous. That would never happen. This comedian that smashes watermelons with a sledgehammer has a twin brother that's stealing his identity. That's the most ridiculous story I've ever heard. They should make a movie out of that. I wouldn't watch it, but they should.
I wouldn't watch it.
Oh my God. Oh my God. That's probably the happiest I've been in like 3 years.
I'm just glad I could witness it.
Oh, fuck. You caused it, you fucker. Oh my God. It feels like it's been maybe 10 years since I've had joy like that come into my life. If you, like, honestly, thank you sincerely from the bottom of my heart.
Yeah, I
Like,
just knew the story, man. I didn't do it.
that, just great. It's fantastic, you know? I love shit like that. Obviously.